So I'm sure many of you have heard of someone having a come to Jesus moment. Maybe some older parents here can remember many come to Jesus moments with their kids. It's a phrase, I think, that we've heard over the years. And I guess I'd describe a come to Jesus moment as a time when someone has a wake-up call to the reality of his or her life, and hopefully decides to live in a radically different way. You know, many saints have actually had, I would say, come to Jesus moments. For example, St. Augustine, who lived in the 3rd and 4th centuries, was an extremely intelligent young man who lived a promiscuous life for many years. He got involved in the wrong crowd when he was young, and he ended up fathering a child out of wedlock before he encountered Catholicism in a profound way. After some time, he intellectually understood Catholicism to be the truth and Christ to be his savior, but he was still unable to live it out. He was unable to say no to sexual temptations for the longest time. Thus, he could not commit fully to following after Christ. But, by God's grace, he finally had a come to Jesus moment after reading from a passage from St. Paul, when it all clicked. He knew he had to turn away from his sins and live for Christ. And he did. He eventually, as you might know, became a priest and later a bishop. He's now known for being one of the greatest saints of the church. You see, a come to Jesus moment is when we decide, with the help of God's grace, to live for Christ completely. Put Christ above all other people and things in our lives. And that's what our Lord asks of us each day, to put him first above all else. Now in the gospel we just heard, we hear our Lord explain about what true discipleship looks like and what is required of it. And at first glance, his words might seem a little harsh. If anyone comes to me without hating his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Right? Don't we hear all the time how our Lord wants us to love everyone, including our enemies? So, what does he mean by this? Well, in this section of the Gospel of Luke, our Lord is naturally using strong language and hyperboles, exaggeration language, in order to make his point to his audience. And this type of speech we use to this day, but was more typical for Christ's day, and can be lost in translation to our modern ears. He didn't mean that we need to literally despise our family in order to follow after him. No, of course not. He was stressing that a disciple of his must put Christ first, above his family, above himself, and above any comfort. I mean, after all, we were made to know, love, and serve God in this world, so we may be happy with him forever in the next. Our Lord knew his audience well, and he knew how they could become overly attached to people, to things, and to being comfortable. So in order to stress his point that their relationship with him must come before all else, he explained to his disciples the importance of detaching themselves from people, things, and comfort. I mean, as we discover all too quickly in life, no person can make another person completely happy at all times, no matter how hard he or she tries. I mean, people are human. They will always disappoint. Further, as married couples quickly discover, no spouse can completely satisfy the other spouse, no matter how hard he or she tries. Why? Because we were made for God, and in God alone is our happiness found. As St. Augustine once wrote after his conversion, "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you, O Lord." So, in order to achieve our perfect fulfillment, which is ultimately found in heaven, we have to be true disciples of our Lord in this life. In other words, we must be willing to put our relationship with him first above all else. People, comfort, and possessions. Now this choice, to be an authentic disciple, it's admittedly, if you think about it, a radical one. It's one that requires a come to Jesus moment. One that means that all of our actions must be centered around putting God first in our lives. St. Augustine realized before his conversion that he could not live half-heartedly for Christ. He couldn't be duplicitous to say he was a Christian, but then not live the Christian moral life. He struggled with this for so long because in reality, he was a slave to his sexual sins at the time. But then he couldn't take it anymore. He knew he would only be truly happy and fulfilled if he lived a radical, authentic discipleship. Okay, so how does being a radical disciple look like in our modern lives? In other words, how do we in our day put God first above all else? Well, I think the devil is going to tempt us first and foremost into complacency in our lives. In other words, we will be happy where we're at spiritually. We won't try to root out certain sins. So to combat that complacency, we have to examine our individual lives. Are we overly attached to a certain person, to possessions, to sin? Do we give God our all? Do we look for material goods for our happiness? Do we put our faith first above our relationships with others? For example, if we put God first in our lives, we're going to take our faith seriously. It has to be more than simply family practice. If we take our faith seriously, we will never really miss attending Mass on the weekend. Why? Because Sunday Mass is a necessity in our earthly relationship with our Lord, where the sacrifice of the cross is made present, and we receive our Lord, body, blood, soul, and divinity in Holy Communion. Right? That's why attending Mass on a Sunday and holy days is a precept of the Church. It doesn't matter how tired we are on the weekend, or if our family or friends heckle us about it, or if we'd rather spend time with friends, or just simply sleep in. No, our relationship with our Lord and our desire to worship our Lord in a way he desires to be worshipped is more important than our own wants and other people. I mean, after all, we need the spiritual strength from the Eucharist in order to live for Christ during the week. Further, do we let comfort or sin get in the way of putting God first? You know, we become so comfortable that we don't even realize we're choosing serious sins over our relationship with God, or that even certain actions are serious sins at all. And these sins hurt us spiritually, emotionally, physically. For example, do we put our own personal views on politics or relationships above God's laws? Or are we humble enough to assent our minds and wills and hearts to God and his laws, knowing that he knows what is right? Or on a simpler level, do we strive to love others because God desires us to? Is there an individual in our life that we're not treating as a brother, but instead as an enemy? Is there a whole group of people that we resent, that makes us mad to just even think about? You know, these barriers of resentment and anger are like giant weeds growing in the garden of our souls. We have to work toward not wishing harm to anyone. We can disagree with people and their actions, but we should never actively wish ill on a person. And if we do, we need to bring that to the sacrament of confession. The devil wants to divide us. Christ instead prayed that we would always be united. Now, there's another example of how to put God first in our lives that I think plagues many people. So in today's modern age, with the media and with the easy access to the world through the internet, pornography is so rampant. And viewing it is even considered to be normal by the media and even many public school health classes. Yet pornography attacks the dignity of the human person at its very core. So a person who willingly uses pornography needs to be aware that he or she is not only attacking his or her own dignity, but also the dignity of those involved in the industry, and the dignity of the person's spouse if he or she is married. It uses people as objects of pleasure, and that is not what we are created for. You know, I think I'm young, but when I was growing up, smartphones weren't around yet. Now, all we have to do is take out our phones and do a quick search to be able to find inappropriate images or videos. Parents need to be more aware of their children's phone usage. All in all, if you struggle with pornography, and no matter how hard you try, you can't seem to let go of it, maybe you should think about getting rid of that smartphone. It's just not worth it. Now, persisting in grave sin without trying to fight or stop it is a silent spiritual killer and a grave offense against love. A disciple of Christ cannot be complacent. He or she must run to God's never-failing mercy and seek forgiveness and ask for help in order to weed out the sin from his or her life. Christ calls all of us to radical discipleship, to constantly have come-to-Jesus moments which we decide to refocus our life on him. It doesn't matter if we're baptized or not. We must always be willing to turn away from false attachments to people, to sins, to comfort that keep us away from our true potential, to living for God, so we can be in heaven one day with him, where there is no suffering, but only peace and happiness. You know, at first glance, true discipleship might seem impossible. It's something not even worth fighting for. Why bother? But that is what the devil wants us to think. In truth, nothing is impossible with God's help and guidance. He loves and cares for us. He's not going to abandon us and will always forgive us if we ask for his mercy when we fail. So, all in all, we must constantly examine our lives to see if we're actually living for Christ, if we're truly putting him first in our lives. And when we don't, we all need to seek his mercy frequently in the great sacrament of confession, in order that we may start over. And so, on this 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time, we must ask ourselves, what is holding us back right now from putting Christ first in our lives and being his radical disciple?